Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. You're on to IRIB English Radio. And as my brother Muzaffar here in the studio would say, choo-choo-ku-choo-choo, what is it?
That's it, my man. You're getting into the rhythm of it. That's
Muzaffar it. In the studio with me. And so, choo-choo-ku-choo-choo, let's go.
I love it. Santum, thank you.
Yeah, so this is the youth station and maturity. That's, I think, our topic for today.
Right after saying that slogan, we're talking about maturity.
Was that a mature thing I just did?
No. I think maturity, part of maturity at least, is to know when it's okay to crack a joke.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
I think some of the worst moments in our childhood was when we were being told off. You might not have experienced this because I think you're a good boy, right?
But my parents struggled, man.
Okay. It's usually the bad kids who turn into good kids later on. But sometimes. But when you're being told off really badly by your teacher or by your parent or an auntie or an uncle, and you are fighting with all your energy and strength not to burst out laughing.
Oh. The signs of maturity.
We don't talk about mental maturity, right?
Yeah, sure. You find a person with beard. You find a person with good height in an adult age range. Can you say that person is mature?
No, come on.
How do you find out a person?
Have you seen me? How do you find out?
Or let me rephrase it and put it in a more fascinating way. You're now going for a proposal. Let's say we're single.
Oh.
We're going for a proposal.
Mm.
How do you know that person, girl or boy, let's keep it in both situations, is mature enough for you or not?
You would have to start a conversation with them, I think.
Mm-hmm. So it's something beyond physiological.
Yeah. See, when we're talking about immaturity here, I think a big part of immaturity is jahiliya, and a specific type of jahiliya that we refer to as jahl murakkab, I believe, right? And that's the compound ignorance. And that's where a person not only doesn't know, but they don't know that they don't know. To strike up an example of that, you'd have to start a conversation with somebody and start discussing about various different subjects. And see if they are interested in subjects that they don't have knowledge about. For me, I'd say that that's a kind of test of maturity. Priorities, I'd say.
Yeah.
The things which are important and the things which are very trivial and you should be able to let go of them.
Exactly.
And I think that that strikes a bigger chord with us as well, because we experience in our lives so often that somebody who you expect to be that mature, sensible person actually is holding lots of hatred, for example, or grudges in their heart, and they're keeping a lot of pent-up emotions against other people, and you're thinking, why? And then, you know, it happens a lot in Indo-Pak.
You know how I know whether a person is mature enough? I see what's big for them. What's so big for them? What's trivial for them? What's trivial
nice.
For them?
Yeah.
Like, is it big for them if they were involved in a car accident?
Mm.
Or is it trivial for them if they lose? For example, me, at least I can say, during my ayyamul jahiliyyah, during the days of my ignorance, it was trivial for me for my father to take away my computer for a week. And he did once to, you know, train me. But then I'm like a tech guy. I'm like a geek in the class.
Right, right.
And me being away from my gadgets was a big deal.
Mm.
That was trivial for me. But then when you look at the people around you, I think the best test that I can have, I either travel with them, I look at their friends, I speak with them and so on, all to find out what's big for them. What's big
that's
for them.
That's a really good way to define it, because obviously if God is the only thing that's big in your head, then that you know, that fixes all levels of immaturity right there and then. If only we had the strength to just make that leap of faith, even though it's not a leap of faith, because you've intellectually come to the conclusion that, you know, that's the reality. And yet there's so much baggage that we hold on to. There's so many things that are big in our heads.
I remember this story. I forgot the name of this brother. I think he's famous, or relatively famous enough. You know, there is this book, 3 Minutes Until the Judgment Day.
Nope.
Right. It's some of these are essentially the experiences, close to death experiences.
Yeah,
where a person goes into a coma or some sort of a mental state where his soul is detached from the body, and then he goes through a few experiences, and they're actual real experiences because they see haqqaiq, they see the truth of this
Subhanallah.
World. So yeah. I was listening to this story of this brother in his masjid, and he went to this coma. And he came back and he was discussing how that in that period he would be in the haram of Imam Hussein for all this time and see so many things. And then when he came back to this world after 2 months, he saw this world as a low state. He would beg God to take him away from this world. And then he would be like, what is this world? Why is this guy constructing such a big building? Why is this so important for him? Like he saw every single matter, like every single small molecule of this world to be immature. Mm. That's how he saw it, right?
Hey, do you know what? This world is the immature world. Yeah. If in one sense, if you look at it, it's the word dunya itself comes from adna, which means the lowest realm. But that is really remarkable that you'd describe the molecules, the very atoms of this world as immature.
Yeah, that's how I perceive it. Like, or at least this brother who went to this state and came back.
Mm.
And when I think about it, that's how exactly it is. That's why Imam Ali, he says, "Kun fi dunyaka ka'annaka tu'ishu fihi abada." Live in this world as if you're going to stay here forever. Like, if something happens today, don't forget about it. There's tomorrow.
Mm.
Like, if something, like, for example, if you have to go to somewhere and you weren't able to make it, okay, not a big deal. But then kun fi akhiratika ka'annaka yamutu ghada. Behave for your akhirah in a way that you're going to die tomorrow. Your salat best, pray it right now. You might die tomorrow. That should be trivial for you. God should be trivial for you. What's big for you? I think that's the criteria I'd use for trying to see whether someone is mature or immature. Let's take a break and we'll be back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
We're back, and me and my brother Muzaffar, we're discussing about maturity. And we established the point that we test a person's maturity by seeing what's big for them. How do you approach this matter, brother Muzaffar?
I think my definition is better than yours.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't.
So you're going to battle me, yeah?
No, genuinely. I genuinely think your definition is better. Your kind of test for seeing if somebody's mature or not, that makes perfect sense. You'd see what's big in their eyes. One thing that we encounter a lot, you're in the Islamic seminary, right?
I'm in
the Hawza too.
Yeah, yeah, I am.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed a trend for anyone who studies a specific subject to believe that that subject is the best, it's the be-all and end-all of all things.
My brother is in the university studying medicine, and he finds it the same way because there are people with different interests and they kind of see the subjects that are related to their interests to be more important for them. In Islamic seminary, I think it's more opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the subjects are so different. You have usul and fiqh, probably a bit closer together, but what's the relation between usul and fiqh and falsafi?
Yeah.
Philosophy, Islamic philosophy is a completely different arena on its own.
See, okay, so if somebody is taking a single subject and saying this is the most important thing and other subjects are not important,
that's what I'm
getting at here. Right? Other subjects are not important. I'd say that is another way to see that this is an immature approach.
Person, it's actually
and that's something that you see in all facets of society, universities totally.
Yeah, that's
I just want to say this really funny sketch, right? We're on the topic of immaturity and maturity, right? I might as well say it. So there's this dinner party, right? And this guy walks in and he's a brain surgeon. Really highly educated and stuff. So hi there, what do you do? And then the guy says, oh yeah, I'm a banker. And then he goes, well, that's nice. It's not rocket science, though, is it? Right? Do you know the phrase? It's not rocket science, right? You, when somebody is studying a certain subject, you say it's not rocket science. It means that it's not that heavy sort of a subject, right? So then another person comes up and then he goes, what do you do? And then he goes, oh, I'm a mechanical engineer. And then he goes, That's nice. It's not rocket science, though. And then the third person comes and he says the same thing to him. And then another guy comes in and then he goes up to him and says, what do you do?
Rocket science.
And he says, I do rocket science, right?
I just knew where this was going to.
And then he's just stumped. He doesn't know what to say anymore.
And
like, right?
Yeah, that is exactly rocket science. What do you
says,
do?
And then he says, what do you do? And then he goes, brain surgery. And he goes, oh.
That's not rocket science. I love this story.
This is where maturity in a lot of people's minds is defined by your education. And that's not necessarily the case. You can be highly, quote-unquote, educated and still be immature as hell.
You wouldn't be surprised finding people having 6 degrees, doctorate and whatnot, and still bowing down in front of an idol.
You can, on the opposite end of the scale, you can find people who don't have that much of education, but they're really mature people.
Oh, yeah.
They're really down-to-earth people at the same time. I want to tell you a story of Einstein.
Go ahead.
I know the controversy surrounding him and everything, right? But I heard this really cool story, right? And there is an element of Einstein that I really do like, because he's like the stereotypical kind of genius. Of guy. That
with his beard and his hair. Yeah.
So in Islam, when we gain knowledge, we're supposed to not consider ourselves bigger or be self-exultant.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is like considered as one of the top scientists of his age, and he'd just be riding around on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, isn't that crazy? So anyway, he's got a driver to take him to this big university where he's going to be lecturing and stuff to all these upper-class scientists. And he tells the driver to switch places with him. And he says, I'll drive, you sit in the back. And if anybody comes and sits with you, you tell them that your name's Einstein.
Oh, lovely.
So Einstein's driving the car, right? And his driver's in the back seat. So then one of these scholars, he comes in and he sits down. Einstein, it's so glad to finally meet you. They didn't have that many photographs in that. So he's seeing him for the first time. He's like, you're Einstein. Oh, my God, I've read all your books and everything. And then he asks him a really, really difficult question. And then the driver says, huh, that's so easy, even my driver can answer it. And then, so Einstein answers it, and he's actually in the driver's seat, and then, yeah, he's flabbergasted. But if my point is that, for me, is it would seem like it's actually immature. Am I correct?
Yeah.
To some people, that would seem immature. He's switching places with his driver. But actually,
that's the most mature thing. Yeah, that's the most mature thing.
It goes back
to
Bahlul.
Humbleness, exactly.
Bahlul had such a high level of education. He was like,
that's when you get to know your responsibility and you fulfill that responsibility, no matter how people perceive you. I think that's like one of the biggest level of maturity. Let's talk about the qualities of someone who's mature. Would a person mature take things personally or not?
I want to say no.
Yeah. I remember the story of Imam Ali and the day of Khandaq, I believe, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
When that guy, he combats with Imam Ali, mm-hmm. and he falls, uh-huh. and Imam Ali was about to strike him, he spits on the face of Ali.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take it personally. He walks around a bit, makes sure the anger is cooled down. That's when he strikes afterwards, just to make sure that he doesn't take things personally. That's maturity.
We see this in the Sirah of the Ahlul Bayt as well. When Imam Baqir alayhi salam, he's out there and he's plowing the field. He's working really hard, and this guy comes over and he wants to mock him, and he says, "Hey, Baqir," and which means cow. What is his reply? This reply is brilliant. He goes, "My name is Baqir, not Baqir." The hadith goes on, but I want to leave it just there, right?
That's maturity.
That's maturity, where you can just give somebody such an intellectual and straightforward response that they don't know what to say after that.
At the same time, you'd find these people playing with kids as if they were kids.
Mm, alhamdulillah.
That's still maturity. Not because you're playing with kids doesn't mean that you're immature.
Mm.
You playing with kids mean that you're properly mature, because you know who is your audience and how to deal with them. All right, that's it for now. That's the time we have. Me and Brother Muzaffar here for the Youth Station, RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.